Could you review again what the antidotes for the five hindrances are? Also, if one has not correctly identified the hindrance at the moment and uses the incorrect remedy, so what? Not skillful? Questions. Well, actually, when it's sort of the, say, having not identifying the hindrance, applying the incorrect remedy, then you've got still something to work with. So it's it's no big deal. I think the thing is, the whole point of it is actually seeing what actually works for oneself. I mean, I just gave some basic ideas or possibilities, because there's many, many different tools and antidotes that one can apply or experiment with, and one just has to pay attention to, well, does it work? It does help to, you know, to really identify a bit more clearly, well, what is the hindrance, so that, you know, if when one does apply some sort of methodology or technique, then you've got some clear information for the future that, okay, maybe it'll work again, and it may not. So, but it's good to keep the information clear. Now, if with sense desire, the classic remedy is the unattractive aspects of the body, unattractiveness of the body, and I think one of the main reasons for that is the whole point of, say, you know, sensual desire. It's kind of body-based, it's with the senses, it's looking for gratification external to oneself, and then to just review and sort of, you know, what we assume to be this vehicle for gratification and some kind of happiness, well-being, pleasure that we want to derive from external sources. We say, well, even that, the whole thing is fraught. And so, yeah, hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin. It's sort of like there's all these different component parts, and none of them are particularly attractive in and of themselves. None of them are solid and stable. They're constantly shifting and changing, so that it helps to develop that a quality of dispassion, coolness toward that outgoing energy. The hindrance of irritation, ill will, aversion is, say, the classic remedy is that's recommended is the cultivation of loving kindness, so that when in consciously bringing up a quality of loving kindness, then one is undermining those roots of ill will and replacing it with something that is positive, is bright. I mean, there's many different ways that one can be working with ill will, aversion. I mean, one is just paying attention to the, say, the drawback or the, say, the harmful consequences of ill will. The image that the Buddha gives of, say, the results of ill will, it's like throwing dust into the wind. It just blows back in your face. Right? Or spitting up into the air. It splats down on your face again. It's not so fruitful. Antidotes for ill will are antidotes for sloth and torpor. Consciously putting forth effort into the meditation object, bringing up recollections of Dhamma, visualizations of light, opening the eyes, really energizing the posture, getting up and doing walking meditation, or standing out outside in the fresh air. Those are many of the kind of techniques. So it's not just limited to sit there until the sleepiness goes away, because sometimes you do that and you just you end up stretched out on your meditation cushion. So that sometimes you just, nothing's working. And you have to sort of physically get yourself up and move. Restlessness, anxiety, the classic antidote to restlessness actually is mindfulness of breathing. So that soothing rhythm of the breath and allowing that rhythm of the breath to kind of permeate and fill the body so that it gives this restful feeling that helps to settle the mind down. And doubt, just reviewing teachings, reviewing the recollecting Dhamma, recollecting particular teachings that seem to resonate in some way, and it helps to build that confidence to get one over the hump of that doubt. And these are just, you know, a few. There's really so many different skillful techniques that people have tried and worked with and benefited from. But I think it's important for us as practitioners to experiment for ourselves and see, well, what works? What's interesting? What might work? 'Cause it's actually more useful to experiment with something that might work and it not working, you know, in the sense that the hindrance is still there, but at least there's the you're stimulating the interest to explore and there's a confidence that you gain from that, rather than being too fearful or worried of, did I get the right antidote as it's in the text or in the book? Or was that, do I remember that right? So you end up in doubt about that. So it's such an important way to kind of empower oneself, is just to explore and experiment and kind of own your own practice. And it's really important.